accession number 19057, Reel 7.
Reel 7.
This was June, I'm not certain when, 1945. We was on this route up to Berlin. We was stopping every so often with the engine overheating, stop for a leak, or stop at any pretext at any crossroads or feature, and the Russians were getting a bit annoyed with us. Anyway, we was going all through the night to 60 miles into Berlin, and we drive right into the Olympic Stadium when we reached Berlin, and the Guard of Honour was siphoned off and they were going to do a Guard of Honour for Montgomery visiting Berlin. But the intelligence people got me to come in an office in Berlin, in the Olympic Stadium in Berlin, and it said, had you set up the typewriter? I said, well, I got the typewriter, I brought it with me, I'm ready to type out what you dictate. He said, have you set it up? I said, what do you mean? He said, you're supposed to set the typewriter. Have you been on a course on this? I said, no. I was, oh, Christ, he said, you were supposed to go to a brigade and set up, be able to set up the typewriter so that the, it was an Underwood and the keys were all detachable. And you exchanged the fifth key for the 11th key and moved everything along so that when you touch type, everything comes out gobbledygook. And we tell, when it's translated, it's the 11th key is interchanged for the 5th key and back. He said it's supposed to be all in code. But he said, I set it up. And then all we want you to do is to type out what I dictate to him. So there's about 20 pages of it, of units with insignias on Russian and what this crossroad looked like and how many Russians were defending that and how many rivers we had crossed and bridges blown out and was this fordable and that. And I thought I was just going up to type out a report on this ceremonial visit of Montgomery to Berlin. And I had taken a load of cigarettes up with me and he said, I can flog them for you. So he got me, I took up 2,000 cigarettes, which he got me five marks a cigarette for, this chap. So I was awash with money for the rest of my career in there. But while we was in Berlin, they took us to Hitler's Chancery. That was in June 45. I think it was one of the earliest British people to go in Hitler's Chancery, and there was a bit of a stink going on at the time because the 10th Hussars were up in Berlin and they pinched an enormous blue carpet from Hitler's Chancery, and there was a stink going on of where this carpet, it was in the officer's mess in the Olympic Stadium. And then they took us over the see some Russians with T-34s, and I was surprised they was they had women drivers and crew and that. And then the one thing that did strike me in Berlin at that time, the women labourers shifting all the bomb damage with pick and shovels, with that women, all women doing the work.
That was to clear the rubble.
Clear the rubble. But that was Berlin, and then I come back with them.
What were your impressions of Hitler's Chancery?
It was very badly bombed. I didn't go down into the bunkers, but I see the spot where he was supposed to have been burnt. You know, it was still blackened and charred around the area where he's. And I went into a big hall that was bomb damaged, but I didn't really see a great deal about it, but they didn't let us down into the bunkers. The Russians wouldn't let us down into the bunkers.
What was your impression of the Russians?
Then they was frontline troops. I hadn't spoken to Germans about them at that time, because then we were whisked back to the Olympic Stadium and the ceremonial business was over, and we was only there about 2 days, I think, and then we were whisked all the way back to Luderitz, and then at the Potsdam Agreement we moved back 120 miles. Where did we go? To Einbeck in the Harz Mountains, and we were there for 6 months, and we lost all our tanks. All our tanks was brassed up. We had a final parade October 45. I got quite a few pictures of them. And then we moved from Einbeck back into Hanover at Ricklingen, doing displaced persons guards on guards. But by then I was getting a bit irritated by so many night guards, and our squadron clerk had the offer to our squadron clerk was being demobbed, and I had the offer to go into the squadron office with Jack Borlase, who was second in command, and he was going up one as chief clerk, and I was going in there as a squadron clerk, doing a lot of typing, and I was there until February 46, and then they didn't tell me the regiment was being disbanded, but they said, well, you've been in the clerk's office for about 6 months. We're going to send you on an orderly room corporal's course at Lipstadt. So I think it was January 46 I went on this course. And during February 46, the regiment was disbanded. But I was on this course for a month. Very good course. It was going to teach me how to type, but my first typing lesson, I could do 100 words a minute. And they said, do you want to stay here as a typing instructor? I said, no, thanks. I'd rather go back to the regiment. But I didn't know then that the regiment had been disbanded. So, at the end of the course, and the leave train from Hanover went through Hengelo, and I'd been on one leave to UK, and I found on the way back you got your leave pass stamped at the Hook of Holland that you'd come back into the continent. If you dropped off at Hook of Hengelo, you could stay 24 hours there, get on the same train next day. You was day late getting into transit centre in Hanover, and they just said, well, you're day late. And so I thought, well, I'll pop down to Hengelo and see a girlfriend who I've met during the war. So I dropped off there for a couple of days, and I was picked up by military police. And they delivered me to the Royal Dragoons, who was OI team, where the rest of the regiment had gone to. First Royal Dragoons, and of course I brought into the Royal Dragoons by the military police, had been absent without leave, and started off my career with the Royal Dragoons by getting 7 days jankers. At by the end of 7 days, my course at Lipstadt had come through, and they give me amazing marks of a 98% pass on the orderly rooms corporals. So I started off 7 days jankers, and then I was, by the end of the week, I was orderly room corporal, handling all the release documents for the regiment. But I didn't fancy being orderly room. The rest of the Sherwood Rangers had gone to one particular squadron in the Royals, so I opted to go into the squadron office of that particular squadron. And then from Oyton we moved down to Gifhorn in Brunswick, and then we went on detachment. Or whilst we was in Gifhorn in Brunswick, the Royals had taken over riding stables of the German army, and anybody who wanted to be taught how to ride, and they was going back to their peacetime rollers, horse soldiers, so anybody who wanted to learn how to ride, they was willing to do it. But then we went to detachment on the Russian border with armoured cars, but 5 o'clock in the morning, the squadron leader and the sergeant major and myself used to go out at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning on horseback to ride along the border. Then we would spy out the what Russian units were opposite us, and at the end, then we'd come back and I'd have to type out secret reports for intelligence of what Russian units were opposite us.
What did you look for?
You know, badges and signals, and our squadron leader used to do all this, and all I was there for was the typist.
Did you ever come into contact with Russians on the border?
Oh yes, we used to go up to them and talk to them and give them a cigarette, and we was more interested in smuggling booze across from the Russian. Christmas time, I remember paying 50 cigarettes a bottle for Goldwasser. It was liqueur, gold colour. It was called Goldwasser. It tastes nice. But I didn't see Christmas Day for 3 days, 3 Christmases. But we also used to do raiding German collaborators. I remember doing one particular house.
Are these Germans who were ex-Nazis?
Ex-Nazis, and who had looted France and Belgium and that. And we were looking at, I remember going one house, one farmhouse, and it took 4 lorry loads of loot away from this one farmhouse. And they was taking it away, and there was a nice French camera which I slipped in my pocket. And this chap saw me, and he was going to create a hell of a fuss about looting the German citizens. And a week later, I was doing guard in court, and this chap come up. I was dead scared he was going to start shouting in court about that chap looted off me.
You did guard duties in the court?
Yeah.
What type of crimes were being judged?
Mostly Nazi collaborators, and mostly looting. And we were also on the lookout for illegal steals. At that time, they had it was rather prevalent for illegal steals. And we come across one that was a bath of rotting potato. They poured petrol on it and then distilled it. And of course, chaps were going blind drinking the stuff. And so he was smashing up those illegal steals as well, which in remote farmhouses they could get away with.
But and who were they supplying? German civilians or...?
No, British soldiers. Because we was after... round about Christmas time, we always wanted our share of liquor, and I remember buying stuff smuggled across the border, because at that time we had so much money that it just wasn't true. And then after Bodentech, they formed a special squadron of the Royals to go up to Berlin. And I went up as the advance guard to form the squadron office. And we went, I was in the advance guard in early October 46. And we was there until, when we got up there, it started snowing. And it stopped snowing in April. And the end of April, we were swimming in the open air in Berlin. But it was a marvellous time. It was before the Berlin Wall. You could get... I went to the opening of the Berlin Staatsopera when they did the opera Salome. And I could get tickets everywhere. You know, in the Russian sector. I had my own flat, which I'd rented from a German place. So I had a girlfriend in Berlin, and a bit stupid. In the spring, I thought, well, no, you had a map of Berlin, and the Wannsee Lake was all coloured red. Oh, it would be nice, spring afternoon, we cycle all the way around the Wannsee. Got a couple of bikes, you know, I was well supplied with money, and I had plenty of cigarettes with me. So, goes for, you know, going to take a day, cycle right around the Wannsee. But I'd forgotten that the other side of the Wannsee was not in the Russian sector, it was in the Russian zone. And I just went through a Russian post as I normally would in the sector, and they wouldn't say anything about it. But this was the Russian zone, and the girlfriend I would disappear quick, and they held me for 24 hours because I was in civilian clothes, and I was difficult to convince them that I was a British soldier.
What actually happened?
They held me in their guard room for 24 hours while they verified that I was a very British soldier. But they was all right because I had 120 British cigarettes with me, and I was able to liberally supply them with cigarettes, which they didn't have. And they'd agreed it, but it just meant that they had to, at that time, consult someone higher up. But it was worrying time because the Green Howards were in Berlin at the same time, and several of their chaps were disappearing. But I think they was they thought the Russians would be easier than their own regiment. They was having a rough time in their own regiment.
But their attitude of the Russian guards to you, were they?
Oh, the ordinary Russians, and you go to the opera and. They was big-headed, and they can out-drink everybody and out-shoot everybody, but if you didn't provoke them, you got on all right with them.
Had the city changed much from your first visit?
Yes, all the rubble was cleared up, and the avenues under den Linden, Kaversen Dam was opening up, and... two nights a week, I had an out-of-bounds cafe supply me with two bottles of brandy a night, whether I drank it or not. And our canteen was three bottles, barrels of beer a night. And we never used to go and buy a pint of beer. We'd go and buy the barrels. Whoever seemed flush with money on the black market, we'd buy the barrels, and whoever wants the beer, drunk it.
Who did you deal with on the black market?
Well, there's always touts come round. A good English cigarette, you could get 7 marks a cigarette, but I was only flogging German cigarettes, so mine was only 5 marks a cigarette.
And that was the currency, was it, cigarettes?
Currency was the cigarettes. It was very hard on heavy smokers. I didn't really smoke. Well, the cigars, we'd chain-smoked the cigars during the end of the war. But I didn't really smoke. When I went up to Berlin the last time, I had 5,000 cigarettes with me. And
what was the living conditions like for the ordinary Germans in Berlin?
I did try and... You know, I was vaguely interested through a haze of drink and... I was interested, and I used, you know, I had one or two girlfriends. I used to go and I used to go around to their houses and talk to their parents. I mean, I remember one who was armless and legless, and he had his leg blown off in the Russian front, and they had a very heavy time. But the thing that did strike me, that nearly all the girls there reported to have been raped when the Russians took over the town, and it was horrific scenes just at the early part of the occupation, which we didn't really see when we went up there in June 45. We were only shown the, you know, ceremonial part, but this time we was up there for 8 months from October 46 until May.
April 47?
I didn't come back until May, I don't think. I think the end of April we were swimming in the open air, and I think just turned May we come back. And, you know, I discussed a lot with the Germans there. That we had German interpreters, and they were able to get me tickets to various functions. So, one aim was to get hold of American dollars so we could go into the American sector and get their ice cream and sunny side up egg sandwich or something like that. But we was the real tourist in Berlin. We've loaded with cameras and we went everywhere we could. And We had quite a good time, except that the guard duty was one night every 3 nights. We was guarding the bakery, the butcher's shop, and the bakery was good. They had a strip poker school going in the bakery, but that's a different story. But, you know, the guard duties were horrendous, the amount of guards we was doing, and ceremonial guards.
Was the guard duties to protect the facilities?
No, the facilities from getting raided by German looters. We was doing armed guard, going to a bakery, and you was on armed guard there all through the night while I was baking to stop Germans coming in and looting, and also the bakery staff selling their stuff on the black market. Different types of guards, because the whole of Berlin, up until the Berlin airlift, and I think during it, was one enormous black market.
So you could buy anything on the black market?
Black market, anything. I used to wear rimless specs. I got a pair of gold rimless specs made for 15 cigarettes. Suitcase. Leather jerkins made into fur collars. And I was very annoyed. I had a marvellous one done, and I wore it home on leave, and the bloody military police took it off me going through the leave boat. But we was very busy in Berlin. Working in the office, there was a lot going on behind the scenes, which my squadron leader, he died. He was in the Telegraph last year. He was Major Fielding in Berlin. He was a son of a general, but he was a brigadier in Normandy on Dempsey's staff, and he'd come down to his substantive rank, and he was the squadron leader. He was quite experienced and on a staff officer, brought down to a major, but he was a lot more than that in Berlin. He was outward appearance just a major of an armoured car regiment, but he was a lot more than that.
He was involved in intelligence work?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see any signs of that?
Yes, because we had to type up all the reports for him, and, you know, signs of civilian unrest, of units of Russians that were about, and none it do with anecdote. we actually played cricket in Berlin against the German team that played the MCC in 1936. And of the 11 players who played the MCC in 1936, they was able to get 10 who played in that game. Only one had been killed. We actually beat them. I scored 50 as opening bat, which very pleased me. But then I upset my squadron leader by giving him out second ball, LBW, and he never spoke to me for 2 or 3 weeks after that.
So are there any other incidents that took place in Berlin that you can remember?
No, I can't. The Berlin Tattoo. We took part in the Berlin Tattoo there. Done a horse ride. We've been taught horse riding, and we done a pig sticking thing, and then a musical ride in the Berlin Tattoo, 1946. But not a lot of other secret work. We was always very busy in Berlin.
I'd just like to ask you how you felt about serving with the Sherwood Rangers in the Second World War.
Well, after we Sherwood Rangers had seen such a lot of action, to join the Royals, who weren't an armoured tank regiment, most of them serving in the Royals hadn't seen any action, and who was bossing us and being regimental to us, we didn't take it very kindly. In fact, quite a lot of us was a bit rebellious. But then, it was only after I left the Royals that I found out the Royals were the first people to break through Alamein. They were armoured cars right the way through North Africa, and they were armoured cars in Northwest Europe. They'd seen quite a lot of action as armoured cars recce regiment. They hadn't really been in the forefront of action, which we tended to look down on them a bit. And they looked down at us as a load of bloody rabble.